Book 7, The Book of Yoga, Canto 1. The Joy of Union. The Ordeal of the Foreknowledge of Death and the Heart's Grief and Pain. Section 1. Fate followed her foreseen immutable road. Man's hopes and longings build the journeying wheels that bear the body of his destiny and lead his blind will towards an unknown goal. His fate within him shapes his acts and rules. Its face and form already are born in him. Its parentage is in his secret soul. Here, matter seems to mold the body's life, and the soul follows where its nature drives. Nature and fate compel his free will's choice, but greater spirits this balance can reverse and make the soul the artist of its fate. This is the mystic truth our ignorance hides. Doom is a passage for our inborn force. Our ordeal is the hidden spirit's choice. Ananke is our being's own decree. All was fulfilled. The heart of Savitri, flower sweet and adamant, passionate and calm, had chosen, and on her strength's unbending road, forced to its issue the long cosmic curve. Once more she sat behind loud hastening hooves. A speed of armored squadrons and a voice far heard of chariots bore her from her home. A couchant earth wakened in its dumb muse looked up at her from a vast indolence. Hills wallowing in a bright haze, large lands that lolled at ease beneath the summer heavens, region on region, spacious in the sun, cities like chrysolites in the wide blaze, and yellow rivers pacing lion-maned led to the Shalva March's emerald line, a happy front to iron vastnesses and austere peaks and titan solitudes. Once more was near the fair and fated place, the borders gleaming with the grove's delight, where first she met the face of Satyavan, and he saw, like one waking into a dream, some timeless beauty and reality, the moon-gold sweetness of heaven's earth-born child. The past receded, and the future neared. Far now behind lay Madras' spacious halls, the white-carved pillars, the cool dim alcoves, the tinged mosaic of the crystal floors, the powered pavilions, the wind-rippled pools and gardens humming with the murmur of bees, forgotten soon or a pale memory, the fountains splash in the white stone-bound pool, the thoughtful moontides brooding solemn trance, the colonnades dream, grey in the quiet eve, the slow moonrise gliding in front of night. Left far behind were now the faces known, the happy silken babble on laughter's lips, and the close clinging clasp of intimate hands, and adoration's light in cherished eyes, offered to the one sovereign of their life. Nature's primeval loneliness was here. Here only was the voice of bird and beast, the ascetic's exile in the dim-souled, huge, inhuman forest, far from cheerful sound of man's blithe converse and his crowded days. In a broad eve, with one red eye of cloud, through a narrow opening, a green-flowered cleft, out of the stare of sky and soil they came, into a mighty home of emerald dusk. There, onward led by a faint brooding path, which toiled through the shadow of enormous trunks, and under arches, misers of sunshine, they saw low thatched roofs of a hermitage, huddled beneath a patch of azure hue, in a sunlit clearing that seemed the outbreak of a glad smile in the forest's monstrous heart, a rude refuge of the thought and will of man, watched by the crowding giants of the wood. Arrived in that rough-hewn homestead they gave, questioning no more the strangeness of her fate. Their pride and loved one to the great blind king, a regal pillar of fallen mightiness, and the stately, careworn woman, once a queen, who now hoped nothing for herself from life, but all things only hoped for her one child, calling on that single head from partial fate, all joy of earth, all heaven's beatitude. Adoring wisdom and beauty like a young god's, she saw him loved by heaven as by herself. She rejoiced in his brightness and believed in his fate, and knew not of the evil drawing near. Lingering some days upon the forest verge, like men who lengthen out departure's pain, unwilling to separate sorrowful clinging hands, unwilling to see for the last time a face heavy with the sorrow of a coming day, and wondering at the carelessness of fate, who breaks with idle hands her supreme works, they parted from her with pain-fraught, burdened hearts, as forced by inescapable fate we part from one whom we shall never see again. Driven by the singularity of her fate, helpless against the choice of Savitri's heart, they left her to her rapture and her doom in the tremendous forest's savage charge. All put behind her that was once her life, all welcomed that henceforth was his and hers. She abode with Satyavan in the wild woods. Priceless she deemed her joy, so close to death. Apart with love, she lived for love alone. As if self-poised above the march of days, her immobile spirit watched the haste of time, a statue of passion, an invincible force, an absolutism of sweet, imperious will, a tranquility and a violence of the gods, indomitable and immutable.